I don't know what to call it, but when we're done, you give me the title for it. Amen. But today is Galatians 6:6 Sunday, and I just wanted to throw some light and just to share some things with you about Galatians 6:6. Amen. Right? So we can start by reading Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6 is a verse that says, let him that is taught in the word communicate. Okay, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for the privilege and blessing to be with the flock once again. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon the teaching and the hearing of your word. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Help us to see the scriptures like we have never seen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Now this word communicate here is a word that means share or relate or have a relationship. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean send him a text message. You understand? It's not a phone call they are talking about here or send him an email. But that's also part of sharing. Amen. Communicating, relating, sharing a text message, an email, a note, whatever it is. Hallelujah. But what I want to share with you more is the reason for something like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. The mind behind such an instruction. Why does God want us to share and to appreciate the people that he gives to minister to us? Hallelujah. And I feel it's my duty as your pastor to teach you these things so that you do not miss out on what this also brings into your life. Hallelujah. When you go to Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 15, we read Paul is acknowledging a gift that some people brought to him. And he's saying that, now you brethren, is it coming? Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, we have a new engineer. Okay. Wow. It's powerful. I think you should clap for Shagun. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Oh, we have all the patience. We'll wait for him. Right. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Okay, where's Monique? Ah, tu es ici? Oh, très bien. Yeah. Okay. All right. Shagun is having some problems. Okay. Did you bring your Bibles to church?
Yes.
All right. So read with me from verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 15. Oh, Philippians, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you. Isn't it?
Yeah.
He says, no church communicated with me. Okay, so you can see communication is being translated here. I don't even know which version I'm reading. I think it's ESV, English Standard Version. But it says that no church partnered with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And then the next verse, verse 16. Verse 16. Verse 16. Is it coming? Okay. Right. He says, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Can you see that? You sent me help for my needs. That is, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Right? These are all nice English phrases that have been lost. You know, yeah. He says, you sent me once and again unto my necessity. That means as I had a need or things that were necessary for me, you ministered to me in that direction, isn't it? Right. And then verse 17 is the verse that I want you to see. He said, I'm not saying this because I want a gift. Can you see that?
Yeah.
He said, I'm not saying this because I desire a gift. Hallelujah. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Can I have an amen? So what the significance of Galatians chapter 6 verse 6 is not so much that someone desires a gift. Do you see what I'm saying? But it's important for the fruit that abounds to a person's account. Can you see that? Now, if you look at the next verse, look at verse 18. Verse 18. When I mention the verse, start praying for Shagun, because the Holy Spirit will just come upon him. You see, as you prayed, it has just come. Right. He said, because I have all. Look at it. He said, because I have all and abound and I'm full. Do you see what he's saying? In other words, Shagun, do you know how to put the two verses together, 17 and 18? Oh, wow. The man is advanced already. Okay. He says, because I have all and I abound and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus, that's somebody's name. Okay. Okay. Okay, now we've gone to 16. Okay. It's all right. It's all right. If you just give me what I had before, I think I can do with that. Give me what I had before. Okay. Now, ye Philippians, this is 17. But I want verse 18, verse 17 and 18 together. So 17 and 18. You can even add 19 so that we don't have to go over there again. Hallelujah. 17, 18. Good. He says, but I have all and abound. But this is 18. Okay. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to who?
God.
Who received it?
God.
No. Who received the thing? He says, I have received the things. Do you understand? But then the smell of the sacrifice is acceptable and pleasing to who? To God. Can you see that? That's why he says, I want you to have credit with God in your account. Do you understand? And he says, I'm not speaking because I need something, but because I want the fruit to abound to your account. Because I have all and abound and I'm full, having received the things which were sent from you. Are you getting it? So he's not addressing a need here. But what he is addressing is an opportunity for people to have a certain type of credit in their relationship with God. Then he says here, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen? I think you understand the scripture. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the reason why God put such a scripture in the Bible, the reason why God encourages us to do something like this is not so much that people are in need. Do you understand? Because often by the grace of God, God also knows how to take care of his people. Hallelujah. So it's not about a need. Amen. It's not about a need. But what it is that it is a way of accruing fruit in your account towards God. Because it triggers a blessing. This is a very popular scripture. All Christians quote this scripture. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches. Thank God it's not according to your riches. Otherwise, you'll be broke already. No, it's not according to your riches. But it's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you understand? But you can see here, this verse here is related to a whole lot of things going on. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it's related to a whole lot of, even the fact that the sentence starts with but is not a way to start a sentence. It tells you that it is actually a part of all that has been going on here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So every Christian needs to learn that. Every Christian needs to understand that as you're giving and you're blessing your pastor or whatever, you know, and I'm teaching you beyond myself. You get it? I want you to learn this not for me, but for beyond me. Do you get it? Because one day I may not even be your pastor, but if I'm not your pastor, whoever God gives you for a pastor one day, you need to learn how to relate with the person where this is also concerned, wherever it is. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it says that as the person is receiving, the sacrifice is acceptable and pleasing to God. It's described as an odor. Look at it. It's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding me? Yeah. Right. So when you do something like that, what exactly are you appreciating in the pastor or in the gift? And I'm going to give you some reason very quickly and the service will be over. Amen. Amen. Number one, you need to understand that your pastor is a gift from God. Do you understand? The reason why you have to appreciate your pastor is because a pastor is a gift from God. Hallelujah. Every day I understand more and more how much of a gift a pastor is to the congregation that God gives him to. A pastor is a very useful thing to have. Do you understand? It's a very useful person to have in your life. Hallelujah. Now, when you read the book of Ephesians chapter 4, right? Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says he gave gifts to men, isn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read from maybe verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. If you're still in the church, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. Can you see that? Then in verse 11, we see what gifts he gave. The Bible says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, these people are gifts from God. Hallelujah. Even if you don't know how to, because you can have a good gift, but it may not bless you so much because you don't know how to use it. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, there are some of you who have iPads, but you only know how to turn it on and turn it off and take a photo. You get it? But if that's all you wanted, you should have bought a camera. Because these days they are cheaper, isn't it? Yeah, and you could even use the camera on your cell phone because you already paid for that one. Hallelujah. So you see that the limitations of the blessing in the gift often depends on the knowledge that the user has. Do you understand? Yeah. It is you who needs to learn how to tap what is in the gift to make it most useful to yourself. Can I have an amen? So many people write off their pastors too quickly because they do not get out of their pastors what they expect to get, either because their expectations are misinformed or misdirected, you see, or they do not know how to relate in order to benefit from the things that a pastor can be to them. Hallelujah. But you can see God has a real blame. If you continue to read this scripture, you read on very quickly from verse 11. He says he gave these people, verse 12. He gave all these people for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. A gift that helps you attain this must be very valuable. What do you think? A gift that helps you, you see, to move towards perfection, you see, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A gift that helps you to become more and more like the stature of Christ. Must be a very valuable gift. And then the next verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Means you need that gift in order not to remain a child in the Lord. Do you understand? You need that gift to mature, to grow, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So it means you need that gift to prevent and to correct instability. Do you see? Here today, there tomorrow. Believing this today, believing that tomorrow. Do you get it? Drinking holy water there tomorrow, and then drinking holy oil in another place the next day. Do you understand? Being bathed by a grown-up man in one place, and then being making, what do you call it? We used to do that thing. Struggles. We used to roll on the ground. They call it struggles. Yeah. When you go to the church, then the prophetess will pray for you, and then after that they say you have to do struggles. You have to roll on the ground. And somebody will stand here. Another one will stand there, you know, and then they will roll. You roll, and then you come. That's one. They sentence you to 7 struggles. You go up and down. That's one. Up and down. I don't know what it was supposed to achieve, but, you know, I think it was based on Jacob struggling. Something like that. And then it was some type of Aladura church, you know. But God gives you pastors to prevent this type of movement. Do you understand? Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you get it? Now, even if you don't understand this, don't worry. You can see there's deception here. There's lies here. There are some cunning craftiness in this place. There's a wind of doctrine. So it's just this one here that you are probably missing. But even this one to suggest that somebody is being twisted and is conning you. Are you getting the picture? Yeah, the Bible is not so difficult to understand at all. Can I have an amen? Amen? So God gave us these gifts. Hallelujah. And he gave us these people to be a blessing. And this is not a gift you can buy with money. In fact, one day somebody tried to purchase because he was somewhere. In fact, let me just share that verse with you. Right? Do you have time for me to share that verse with you? Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. You see, now verse 18. Okay, let's start reading from let's start reading from verse 14. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, isn't it? Okay. Then what happened? They sent Peter and John to them, isn't it? Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Which is the anointing. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So a Christian must have two types of baptisms. You need the baptism which is in the water in the name of Jesus. And then you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit that comes from an anointed man laying his hands on you. Can you understand that? So, verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that powerful? Yeah. And verse 18, and when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered the money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Do you get it? And Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Then he said to him, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. Do you get it? So even the thought that you can actually obtain the services of a pastor or the gift that God places in the pastor, because it's an anointing. Do you understand? What you experience from a pastor is an anointing. I tell you, it has to be only the Holy Spirit. You know, lately I've been listening to the bishop, presiding bishop on the internet. You should listen to him. You really should. But I've been listening to some messages he's been preaching to young people. Most of them are teenagers. I think the oldest ones are probably about 21, you know. And these are university students. And he has, you know, Bishop now preaches, that's his church. His church is just these young people, university students. And he preaches to them. And when I was in Ghana 2 Sundays ago, I was actually in that service. And I saw the passion with which he was preaching and talking to other people's children. Do you understand? That, and I was just asking, this has to be divine. Only God can put the burden of another person's child on your heart so much. The father and mother, they are somewhere. They have brought their children to school. They think their children in school, their children could be anywhere in the world. Do you understand? Yeah, because one of my church members used to tell me, she told me once that when she was a student in that same school, she said that she used to have a boyfriend who would take her to London over the weekend. So they would go, they finish class on Friday. She's on the plane on Friday night to London. And they arrive, they come back on Monday, and she goes straight to school. And her parents think she's in school.
What a shock.
What a shock indeed. What a shock indeed. There is that little place, you see, there is that little place between the child being mature enough to take responsibility for herself and you being able to let go as a child. Now, between that gap, you see, can you give me your hand? This is the child's own hand. This is where she can handle her own life responsibly. And this is where your hand can come as well. Because your hand often can't go all the way. There is some point at which you're going to have to leave the child by herself. All of you were left alone at some point. Is it not true? Yeah. There is a time when everything is bought for you. Then there comes a day when the money is given to you and you buy what you want. Now I'm saying that between that transfer, in that little bit, many people fall through. Because the transfer, you're handing over life to someone who's actually not ready to take on life. And many people are lost that way. Many young people, the distractions and the chaos and the confusion of the young person's life actually occurs in that little window. You see? And so this, my church member, she used to tell me those things when I was in that church. And she understood every way of a young person. When she saw the young people making certain moves, she understood it. Because she said, I've been there before. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I see Bishop preaching with his heart. I mean, sparing no words. I mean, anything that has to be said is being said clearly and plainly in the church. Yeah. and the children are fired up and they love the message. You get it? And they are understanding, and you can see. And I was just looking at the thing, and then I said to myself that only God, this thing has to come from God. I tell you, it must be from God. It's a gift. The Bible says he gave gifts to men. And one of those gifts is the gift of a pastor. Someone who cares about you. Someone who has his own problems and who takes on yours too. That's not how the world goes normally. No. The other day I saw something on YouTube where somebody was being beaten by some people. And they saw, just were showing a video of so many people just passing by. And really just minding their own business. Because the world is full of people who mind their own business. The world is full of people who think about themselves. Do you understand? So when you find someone who is able to set himself aside and come after you, even when you don't want him after you, you have to know that it is actually a divine something you are experiencing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is the gift. This is the gift that somebody tried to buy with money. Because that anointing that the person had that caused him to lay hands on someone, and then something supernatural will occur in their lives, such as they began to speak with tongues in the Holy Spirit. The guy said, man, I want this gift. Can I give you some money? He took his wallet out. How much is it? Do you accept credit card? Can I just pay for this gift by credit card? He said, can I just pay for this gift so that anybody I lay my hands on. And you know, this Peter and so on, they were not from that town. So they were going to leave town. And then this guy was going to take over the whole business. He was going to build a kiosk. And he was going to start branches of laying hands on people. And you swipe your card for it. There are some people who see a business opportunity in everything that has to do with God. But for a true pastor, it's not business. It's not about money. It's not about give me money and I pray for you. No. It's not about bring a bottle of water in your house and let me pray for you. No, that's not what it is. It's not about bring a gallon of water. You know, that church I used to go to many years ago, they would bring a gallon. You know, you go to, when you're going to church, you dress up, you wear your nice clothes and everything. And then instead of, in addition to your handbag, you get a gallon. And when you arrive, you have to go and put the gallon somewhere. And then the prophetess, she would walk. She had this something that she would just bring, and then she'd come and stick it in your, you know, in your gallon like that to bless the water. But it's not business. Are you following what I'm saying? God is trying to help you to connect to the supernatural thing. It's called the gift of God. The gift of God. That is what it is called. And God is trying to help you to connect with it. Do you understand? Now, your money represents your life. That is why often people have to give money or have to give some sacrifice. In those days, there will be, because if a man had a farm, he spent his time and his energy building up the farm and developing those animals. And when he took an animal for a sacrifice, it represented his sweat. Do you understand? His life. That is what it is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God is trying to make a spiritual connection so that you can be blessed. By connecting to the gift of God. It's a gift that comes from God, and you cannot give it to yourself. Say amen. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. Now, number two. A pastor is a source of knowledge and understanding. A pastor, number one, is a gift from God. Number two, he's a source of knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. A pastor is a source of knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. Remember, it's not the person. It's the gift at work in the person. Do you understand? Yeah. So you see, He says, verse 15, can we all read it together? Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with what? Knowledge and understanding. Let's read it again. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Good. So the Lord is saying that one of the reasons he gives us pastors is that we will have knowledge and understanding. Amen. He says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with what?
Knowledge.
With knowledge and what? Understanding. So through your pastors, God intends to give you knowledge and understanding. There is a lot that you can know just by having a pastor. And there is a lot of understanding. You see, when knowledge breaks itself down, it converts into understanding. Do you understand? The things you know, what it eventually turns you into is actually your understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see, sometimes people don't understand because they don't know enough. But he said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. It's important. Life takes knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People are destroyed because of what they don't know. Hallelujah. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Hallelujah. So you need to understand, God gives us pastors so we can know things. Amen. So we can know the word of God. So we can know about life. So we can know God himself. Hallelujah. Because God is revealed in the messages that are preached by pastors. If you have a pastor according to God's heart, one of the signs, cardinal signs, is that you don't leave a service without having acquired some knowledge, hearing something you didn't know before, or understanding something you didn't understand before, or having a deeper understanding. I was listening to Bishop preach the other day, and then he just made a statement. He was saying, speaking to those young people, he said that there is no such thing as a free lunch. He said there is no such thing as a free lunch. He said the devil doesn't give free gifts. You know, then he said, only God gives free gifts. I tell you, when he made that statement, only God gives free gifts. Then I remember the scripture that says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, isn't it? Then he says that, but I... you may have life and have it more abundantly, isn't it? Then the other one that says there's the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. You know, I began to think that actually it's God who gives free gifts. Do you understand? Yeah, only God can give you something that you don't have to pay back. But the devil, when he's giving you something, he said, the Bible said, the wages of sin, I tell you, sin always has wages. And most wages are not paid at the point at which the work is being done. There's a little delay. Is it not true? Some of you have worked this week. You haven't seen the wages yet. Isn't it? But your boss there not deny you of it come the time. You are expecting it. Yeah. You are expecting it. And the delay is not confusing you at all. Because you know you have worked. If you would have that same attitude towards sin, you would understand it. That yeah, you did it. The punishment is coming. It's just not here yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the wages of sin is that God gives free gifts. I tell you, and it just came, it just hit me like that as I was listening to that message. And I realized that your pastor is a real good source of understanding. You read the Bible, you don't understand. Some of us don't read the Bible because we never enjoy our times in the Bible. But I tell you that one of the easy ways to understand the Bible is to take the... Some of you are writing notes as I'm preaching. Even to take the notes that you've written and just go through them with the verses. Suddenly you see the Bible comes alive. you begin to understand it. Hallelujah. So your pastor is a source of knowledge and understanding. Amen. Next one, your pastor is a source of strengthening. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. Chapter 34 and verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 4. Your pastor is a source of what? Strengthening. He says the disease. Let me just go to verse. Where are we going to read this from? Let's read maybe verse. Let's read from verse 2. So you see the context properly. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me, something. Then he says, prophesy, son of man, prophesy against who? The shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord unto the shepherds. Do you get it? So everything that's following in this chapter is unto who? The shepherds, isn't it? Now, God is not happy with the shepherds because he says that they have not done their job. They have only fed themselves. He says, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Do you get it? You remember the verse we read before? I will give you pastors according to my heart. I mean, a pastor that God is pleased with, his primary job is to be feeding the flocks. Do you understand? And these people were not feeding the flocks. They were just thinking about themselves. And God said, I'm not happy with you. But not only were they not feeding the flocks, the other things they were not doing is what I'm reading about. Okay? So let's read verse 4 now. Verse 4 says, the diseased have ye not strengthened. So a shepherd is supposed to be a source of what? Strengthening for the sheep. Amen. God gives you a pastor so that in times of weakness, in times of discouragement, in times when you feel so low, in times when you feel so down and out. Do you get it? 2 days ago, I was speaking to a brother. He had just heard, you know, that his sister had passed away, you know, and he has a sickness, and the sister has that same sickness. Do you understand? And the sister had passed away from it. So you can imagine what it meant to him. You get it? You have to deal with one, even the loss of your sister, that alone is something. You get it? Then there is the secondary problem of the fear that also comes to you and starts to attack you because you know that you have the same problem. And he was so down and so, I've never spoken to anybody so broken, you know, where I didn't even know what to say. But God uses pastors at such a time. Hallelujah. A pastor is a source of strengthening. He comes into your life, and through him, God is able to lift you up. God is able to make you smile again. God is able to make you look forward again with hope. And to believe that no matter what, it is well. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, to believe that no matter what, it is well. One young lady, a teenager, she sent me a text. She said, you know, sometimes I cannot understand why bad things happen to good people. And she was asking me. She said, I just don't get it. So I had to type a text back to her. I told her, many bad things are really not bad things. They are just good things that have not finished playing out. Do you understand? Because if you catch a good thing at the wrong spot, sometimes it looks like a bad thing. Do you understand? Yeah, because if I took a photograph of the face, just the face of a lady in labor having a baby, and I just took just a photograph of the face, and I showed it to you, what would you say? You would say a bad thing is happening to a good person. Yeah. But if I took another photograph, maybe 2 or 3 hours after, of the same person and showed it to you, you would see that a good thing has happened to a good person. Are you getting it? If you saw the guy called Joseph, if you saw him in prison, You would say that a bad thing is happening to a good person. It's just because of where you caught it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But a good thing was in the process of unfolding. God just wasn't done yet. Do you understand? When you taste someone's food when they are not done with it, sometimes you can take the wrong decision. You can prematurely decide not to be part of this meal. But you would be making a mistake. You are tasting the thing at the wrong time. There's just oil and onions and you're tasting it. Sometimes God has just started. He has barely done anything. He just started. And you're already drawing conclusions. And you're already prejudging the situation by what you're experiencing now. So yes, Joseph was in prison. But if you saw that same guy a few years after he has been toughened enough by the... Because if you're going to be prime minister of Egypt, you need to be tough. You can't be somebody's last born who has never been out before. Even for them to send him to that place to see his brothers was a big problem. His father cried and cried and cried and cried about it. You get it? And God had a bigger plan for him. He was going to make him a prime minister. You get it? Of a country that was fully civilized, the whole world, Egypt was at the time the equivalent of like a world superpower. Do you understand? You can see even to be president of the United States, you need guts. You need to be able to quote even figures that are not true. You need to be able to stand and look people in the face, lift up your hands and say, but you know, we have unemployment, is this and that. And you don't even know what you're talking about. But you just, you know, let them check the facts later. But let's, for now, let's talk, let's debate. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about who looks like he's winning, who looks like he knows what he's talking about. That's it. That's what we are talking about. It's the same, I mean. Both you and I know none of us can change it. But people vote based on who looks like he knows what he's talking about. That is what it is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that guy needed to be toughened. He needed to go through some experiences. He needed to be thrown in a pit and think he was going to die. Then they bring him out of the pit. And when he thinks it's over, they send him into Egypt as a slave. Hey! How else would you know how to live in a palace if you don't start working there as a houseboy? How would you even understand the things of government? Considering that you are even an immigrant. So many steps away from the thing. God needs some type of backdoor ways to get you into the palace. Do you understand? Yeah. And an immigrant like Joseph doesn't have any legitimate way of entering the palace except as a slave. Yeah, so you have to go there as a slave. But because the Lord is with you, when you get there, the king starts to like you. Do you understand? Then suddenly that you are in the next issue. The next issue is that you are being falsely accused. And every leader needs to get used to that. Every leader needs to be able to get used to the point where you turn on the television and people are lambasting you and saying a lot of bad things about you. You can't believe it's you they are talking about. Yeah, that is it. That's what being the president is about. Are you getting it? Yeah. So some woman said that, you know, this boy that you brought to this house, he came to chase me. I was bathing and he came to peep when I was bathing. And when I came out of the bathroom before I was dressing up, he came to the room and so much. The woman said, the king said, what? Next thing the boy knew, he was in prison. And he could swear that he hadn't done anything. But that's what being a president is about. A lot of false accusations. Yeah, a lot of things that people will say about you. People will judge based on this. They don't understand the issues. They judge based on appearance. And you have to survive them. You can't be living in your daddy's house where they won't even send you to buy bread from across the road and rise from there to become the president. No, it's not going to happen. So if you caught this boy's life somewhere in the middle and reported on it, it looked like a good bad thing was happening to a good person. But it was actually a good thing happening to a good person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So a lot of things happen. But you need a pastor even to explain it this way to you. Are you hearing me? Yeah. You need a pastor to explain it to you this way. That, you know, you are not dying. You think you are dying, but you are not. It feels like your world is coming apart, but it's not. So a pastor is a source of strengthening. Hallelujah. Next one, a pastor is a source of healing. He says, Have ye healed that which was... He says, you have not healed that which was sick. You have not healed that which was sick. A pastor is a source of healing. Hallelujah. The Bible says in James chapter 5, if anybody is sick, let him call upon the elders of the church and let them pray for him, laying hands upon the person. And the scripture says, if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Hallelujah. When your pastor prays for you, the Bible says, if you have committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Then it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So you must get into a habit of calling upon your pastor when you are sick. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now beyond that, he says that you have not healed. Which one is this? James chapter 5. Oh, well, yes, this is the one you want. That's right. Well, come from verse 14 or something, or verse 13, since you are there. Is any sick among you? Let him do what? Call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. Then verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Hallelujah. So the diseased have you not healed. Hallelujah. Now sometimes the healing that is needed is beyond physical. Because the sickness is not in the body, it's in the soul. It's inside, it's deeper. Amen. Yeah. The sickness is in the soul. The soul is the arena of the way the person thinks. His emotions, his mind. Do you understand? His intellect, he's been trained to think in a certain way for a long time and needs healing of the soul. And a pastor is a source of that kind of healing. Next one is that you would bind up the broken hearted. Hallelujah. The pastor is a source of comfort also. He's a source of comfort. He says that you have not bound up that which was broken. Hallelujah. Oh, how life can break people up to pieces. You need a pastor to help you even to understand that sometimes you need the breaking for the blessing in your life to come forth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Jesus got a little boy's bread. It wasn't until he broke it that the bread began to multiply to bless people. And sometimes your life is like that. The experiences need to break you down in order for you to be a blessing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, because when you are not broken, you can't be shared around. You can't be passed around. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of us are too pompous and too proud because we are unbroken. We are whole. We have not met any situations that break and crack us up and break us open for the real ointment and the fragrance in our lives to come out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. But when the ointment is broken, have you ever broken a perfume before, a bottle of perfume? See, the bottle can be sitting on your thing. You can never smell what's in there. But if you were to drop it on the floor and it breaks, suddenly the whole place is full of the aroma. So some of the breaking we go through is necessary. It's necessary. Your ego needs to be broken. Your pride needs to be slit open so that the thing can just cool down a bit so that God can be a blessing to you and so you also can be a blessing to other people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. And a pastor can be a source of that brokenness. Hallelujah. Amen. And he can also be a source of binding up that which is broken. Are you getting the message at all this morning? Hallelujah. Then the next one, a pastor is a source of fellowship. Verse 5, it says that you were scattered, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, isn't it? So when there is a shepherd, there is the opposite of scattering, which is gathering. Hallelujah. It says they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Hallelujah. When there you have a pastor, the pastor brings people together. Hallelujah. There's some of you who have come together. You have met each other because the pastor came here to start a church. He's brought you together. That's how Shegun knows Romy. Did you know Romy before? Oh, but today you have a guaranteed front seat in her car. Is it not true? Yeah. Sometimes when he's being delayed, he can even come and say, my friend, let's go. Yeah. How did he get that? You get it? The Bible says they were scattered when there was no shepherd. But when the shepherd came, then a gathering occurred. Amen. And now we can have fellowship. You find people finding their beloveds in the church. You know, yeah. You see someone meeting someone, and then they are just connecting here and there. You get it? Yeah. Why are you looking at me? I didn't mention your name. Yeah. But in a little bit, they are going to get married. They are counting the days. Akwesi, how many days? Gloria, how many days? Hey, I'm surprised these people don't know. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? But until there is a shepherd, the sheep are scattered. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it leads us to the next point. I'm just going to finish this real quick so we can go home. Amen. It says that the next one, protection from evil spirits. Evil spirits. It says in verse 5. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Isn't it? All the beasts of the field represents all the things that you can become a prey to. Do you understand? All the things that can take over your life, all the things that can capture you, that can destroy you. Do you understand? Including death. A pastor is a source of wisdom to avoid debt and come out of debt. Amen. Do you understand? And the scripture is saying that they were scattered because there's no shepherd, and they became meat. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So the scattering caused them to become the meat to the beasts. But the scattering was caused by the absence of the shepherd. Is it not the case? Yeah, look at verse 8. Can you jump to verse 8? Verse 8 quickly, please. It says, and the Lord said, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but my shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. So if you have a pastor, one of the things he's supposed to do is to be searching for you. That's why I was calling some of you this morning. I was just searching for you. Amen. Yeah, because they told me some of you have not been in church. I said, let me call them. Amen. Amen. But your pastor must search for you. Must search for you. You know, not for any reason. I was just searching for you. Do you understand? Yeah. And it's enough to say I am here. That's fine. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he says that they became, look at it, they became, my flock became prey to the beast of the field. If you have a pastor in your life, it helps you to avoid becoming prey to the beast of the field. Hallelujah. There are many beasts in life. There are many things, dangerous situations that you can get into. There are many complex situations. I realize people who have a pastor very early, they are able to avoid a lot of complex situations. Are you getting what I'm saying? People who have a pastor's input in their lives early, they are able to avoid complex situations. Sometimes we introduce a pastor into our lives, but at that point, it's too late. Do you get it? It's not impossible, but he just came in too late. Do you understand? It's a thing. He has come, it's true, but there's so much complication. There's so much to unravel, so much to, unwind. Do you understand? Yeah, so much has already happened. We just have to now try to make the best of the situation. But one of the best things you can do is to have a pastor in your life early, early, early. Amen. And early is relative. Early is whenever you meet him. Hallelujah. So whenever you meet him, you just take him into your life and it will be a blessing to you. Can I have an amen? Right, next one, verse 6. Next one. Well, how many points have you got?
Seven.
Okay, so let me, number 8. A pastor helps to avoid wandering. Verse 6, it says, my sheep wandered. Verse 6, it says, my sheep wandered, isn't it? Yeah, my sheep wandered through the mountains and upon every hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Do you see that? None did. See, it really bothers God that nobody looks for his people. It bothers God. When you read this chapter, you see him saying it over and over again. None did search or seek after them. It's one of the reasons for visitation. So when we want to come and visit you, it's not because we want food. Do you understand? There are some of you, when we come and visit you, you spend the whole time trying to make food. Do you understand? But it's not about food. From the time you enter the house, you see that the person will start to make the food. And they make the food and make the food. By the time they finish the food, it's time to go. No, 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 no. It's not about food. Hallelujah. God wants pastors to search and seek after the sheep. Hallelujah. Look at it. When they were not doing, he said, therefore, ye shepherds, hear the voice of the Lord. What's the next thing that follows there? Hear the voice of the Lord. As I live, saith, because my flock became prey and meat and so on and so forth. Okay, it's all right. Let's just go on and just finish. Next one. Pastor is a source of instruction in righteousness. I know my time is up a long time ago, but I'm just trying to finish this. Also, I haven't preached to you in a long time. I have areas of things to share with you. So please, let me just wrap this up real quick. Amen? All right. So your pastor is a source of instruction, isn't it? Yeah, he's a source of instruction. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. It's a source of instruction. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Hallelujah. Now, when you read the story, you see this is a man who had had an experience with God, and he had had a vision, he had fallen, he was now blind, and so on. And God was directing him to a man of God. Do you see, to help him to regain his sight and to connect him properly to God and so on. And that's the man who asked this question. He said, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Why doesn't God just tell him what he must do? Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody is asking the Lord. Do you notice this says, and the Lord said. And the Lord said. So this is God speaking. He says, you want me to tell you what I want you to do? What I want you to do is to get up and go to a man of God to be told what to do. Wow. That's what the Lord wants him to do. Wow. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So God wanted him to connect to a man of God. Because most of what you need to do is not in one encounter from God. Do you understand? People don't live by visions. People don't see a vision every day. I mean, if this guy is to have a vision like this every day something knocks him off his horse, every day something knocks him off his horse to the ground, he's going to die. Do you understand? What God wants to do is to help him establish a relationship with a man of God through whom God can continually and progressively instruct him on what he must do. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, that's why he says, arise and go into the city. It will be told to you what you must do. Look at chapter 10 and verse 6. Chapter 10 and verse 6. There's a similar verse there. This is a different person who has also seen a vision. He was praying and he saw a vision. And it looks like when people see a vision, this word trembling always comes. Go to verse 6 again. You see. Verse 6. Okay, can you see verse 6? And he trembling and astonished. Do you see? Said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now go to chapter 10 and verse 6. Chapter 10 and verse 6. He says, the Lord spoke to him and said, he lodgeth with one Simon a Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Do you see it again? Right. Can you back up a little bit so they can understand the verse? Maybe start from verse 2 or something like that. Verse 2. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people. Then he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. See, this is what I was trying to tell you. You see, so many of you would like to see a vision on a daily basis. But you would be afraid. Do you see? So he said, he looked on him. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Then and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a Tanner, you know, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Can you see that? So why won't God just tell him what to do? But God is showing him someone with whom he can have a relationship. Because what he's supposed to do really is more than one small thing. Can I have an amen? Amen? So God is showing, God is trying to connect him to one of his gifts so that he can work on him. Remember the verse we read, it says, until we all come to the perfect man. Until. So it's a process. It takes time. Hallelujah. And you need to connect to someone who will begin that process with you, and it will continue and continue and continue. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Then let me see if I have one more. Your pastor is a source of what? Rebuke and correction. Your pastor is a source of what? Rebuke and correction. Hallelujah. So one of the things a pastor is supposed to accomplish in your life is to rebuke you and to correct you. You get it? To jump in your face and say you are wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? To tell you you are wrong when nobody else can. What do you think? Yeah. Everybody needs someone like that. Isn't it? Everyone has people who cannot tell them they are wrong by virtue of their relationship with that person. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, if you were to leave your children to be the one to correct you, it would be a problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, now, it doesn't mean you can't be wrong. But it is not their place to correct you. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
You can be wrong, but it's not their place to correct you. Maybe you cannot receive it. You get it. It takes tons and tons of humility for that to work. Which most people cannot afford. So, everyone needs someone who can be over them and who can speak to them and say that, my friend, you are wrong. Do you understand? In this matter, you are the one who is wrong. Do you get it? Sometimes when people are quarreling between two people, it's like a match without a referee. Yeah. When we were kids, we used to... Akwete, did you used to play those soccer games where they'll be playing, we are our own referee. You get it? Yeah. And then when the match gets to a place that we can't settle, the owner of the ball will just take it and put it under his armpit. It's like the game is finished. It's going on. Because you are scoring his side. He has refused to accept the goal. Said, this one is an offside and you say no. That's it. The game is over. Akwete, have you seen one of those before? Yeah. The game is over. Hallelujah. And it's because there's no referee. But you need a referee that both of you will respect. A referee that both of you accept as a gift from God to you. Do you understand? Yeah. A gift from God to both of you. And then the referee will come to your house or be on the phone and blow the whistle. And say, Derek, foul. Amen. Say, no, Derek, this one is a foul for you. It's a foul. No. Yeah, yellow, and show him a yellow card. Can I have an amen? Amen? David was a man who had such a person in his life. He was a king. He went to take somebody's wife. He killed the husband. It's like a king, he can do what he likes. But he had a pastor. Do you understand? Who could talk to him about what everybody else could see was wrong, but who they could not address it with him. He is the king. Do you understand? It wasn't in those days, it wasn't this type of democratic government that we all elect. Everybody says what they like to Obama. No. In those days, the king was appointed. In fact, they anointed the king. So he was God's chosen man. You could not say anything like that. You couldn't go on demonstration or do anything like that. So the king necessarily needed a prophet, a man of God attached to it. They had a special resident pastor in the White House whose job it was to be able to address the king. And when David made a mistake, the king entered his house one day and told a nice story, you know, and said there was a man, he had, you know, many sheep. Then he had a neighbor. The neighbor had one small sheep like that. The sheep was like a baby girl. The man used to go to every place, the house, the sheep slept in the man's bed, ate from the same plate, everything. One day, the rich man got some guests, and he wanted to kill one sheep to entertain them. And then he went to take the next door neighbor's sheep. You get it? When David heard it, he said, what? Shock! He said, the man who has done this must die. Then the pastor said, King, you are the one. Then David says, oh, are you serious? So yeah, you are the one. Yeah, because the Lord has sent me to tell you that I gave you everything. He said, if it wasn't even enough, I would have given you more. Yeah, he said, I gave you your masters, this and that, so many things. You get it? How come you went to take somebody something? And you see, I'm telling you that you need this type of relationship. You need the relationship with someone. Obviously, you see the way David judged the issue very quickly. It means that he didn't even realize that his situation was like that. So sometimes people are wrong, but they are genuinely wrong. Do you understand? They are ignorantly wrong. It's not like they know what is right and they've chosen what is wrong. Oh, even my battery is finished. It shows that the message is finished. Hello. Okay, I think you have some battery here. Okay, let me just finish. Listen. You see, sometimes people are wrong only because they have not had the chance to be shown what is right. Do you understand? Yeah, because if David understood what he was doing to be the way the king, the prophet explained it, he would have judged himself. But when the prophet laid out the case, it was so disgusting to him. And you realize that he had not thought of himself as being that disgusting by what he had done. But then enter the prophet. And the prophet lays out the case like that. And the way he quickly jumps up to judge them, bring him, let's cut off his head. Foolish man, how can he do such a thing? You get it? And the prophet said to him, you are the one. He says, oh, what type of game is this? So yeah, you are the one. Then he went on to explain exactly how his actions equals this. Then he repents. Do you understand? And through him, God is able to give him a chance. If it was not so, David would have been punished by God very severely for what he had done. Hallelujah. So you need a pastor for rebuke. And you must not be angry with your pastor for rebuking you. Are you getting it? There are some people who, when they are rebuked by the pastor, they say that every time you are on her side. It's a very common accusation of pastor. Every time you are on her side. Every time you are on his side. So when will I also be right? Somebody asked me one day. So pastor, when will I also be right? How do you even know what to tell him? Because he was always wrong. It was just unfortunate. He was always wrong. I mean, really, really wrong. He had a way of interpreting things that was just faulty. So when will I also be right? When will I also be right? Hallelujah. So you can see that everybody needs a pastor, and you need to open up your life to your pastor. David had a relationship with his pastor where the pastor could come and discuss his relationships. Do you understand? The pastor could come and discuss who he was sleeping with. Who he was sleeping with and who he was not supposed to be sleeping with. But it's a relationship. Do you understand? If you don't have that relationship, some people build walls around them. Do you understand? And so the pastor cannot even come through. Now, it's not that the pastor gains anything from coming into your business, but that you are saved from the judgment of walking the wrong way without being corrected. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is why God introduced the pastor into David's life. And David was blessed by the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. And David repented. After that, David went on to write Psalm 51. And he said, have mercy upon me, O Lord, and so on and so forth. What story I told you about is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. You can read it when you go home. And then the last point for today. How many points have you got?
10.
Okay, I'll give you a bonus one. The last one is that he watches over your soul. He watches over your soul. How does your pastor watch over your soul? By praying for you. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch over your soul as they who must give account. Can you see that? Yeah. They watch for your soul as they who must give account. Look at it. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Everybody say, watch for my soul. Says they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for who? So when you have a pastor who is not happy with you, it's unprofitable for who? For you. Do you understand? Not the pastor. It is the sheep who suffer when their pastor is doing his work with grief. Do you understand? It's the sheep who suffer. He says that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Hallelujah. Also means there is some profit in your pastor watching over your soul. Do you understand? And God wants you to have that profit. That is why he doesn't want you to do something that causes this job here to be unprofitable for you, to bring you nothing. Hallelujah. So we are supposed to watch over your souls. So much so that One day, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, Samuel was speaking and he was saying, look at it, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Samuel, 1 Samuel 12, 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Have you got it? Okay. He said, As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you. Can you see that? Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. So, when you have a pastor who does not pray for you, he is sinning against God. Can you imagine that? That's what it means to have someone who is watching for you. Hallelujah. He says that he sins against the Lord in season to pray for you. In season. Not that he went to chase some woman. That's not what we are talking about here. Do you get it? Or not that the pastor stole the church offering. That's not what he's talking about here. The pastor is in his house and he did not pray for you and he's in trouble. Amen. Isn't that fantastic? Your pastor is in trouble when he doesn't pray for you. Sheila. That's why the Bible said that they may do it with joy, not with grief. You get it? Because it's unprofitable for you when your pastor is praying for you with grief. Oh, Lord. And then Sheila, Lord. Is it possible to teach her a lesson, Lord? Is it possible at all? Oh, Lord. It's unprofitable for you because he's doing it with grief. Hallelujah. So you see, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Do you understand? He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I'm praying for you always. He says, therefore, since the day I heard of your conversion, I have never ceased to give thanks for you, praying that God will fill you with a spirit of understanding and knowledge. So much, because that's the pastor's job. He's got to pray for you. He's supposed to think about you and pray for you and have his mind on you. Then he's supposed to get out of his house and go search for you. Wow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you see him coming, don't lock the door. Do you get it? Don't leave a funny answer machine or message. Hello, I'm sorry, I'm not available to take this call. And you are standing right next to the phone. When your pastor asks for your phone number, give him the right number. Don't give him the former apartment number. 647-777-2224. And it's not a number that works. For they watch over you. Can I have an amen? Are you here? Is a pastor a gift for us? It's a blessing to have a pastor. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray today. Amen. Okay. Okay, why don't you just bow your heads and just say a word of prayer. Our time is gone. We're just closing. Just say a word of prayer today and say, Lord, I want you to pray for your pastor. Pray for me. Pray for the other pastors in the church. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that the Lord will deliver us from deception. God will deliver us from destructive ways. God will save us and bless us. Pray that God will help us to do our work with joy and not with grief, in a way that you can benefit, in the name of Jesus. Makabo shatari alama shakafara balaba barababa miko sokotori alaba. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will.
God, you have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord. I will
sing it again. Lead me.